chair of the National Board Programming Committee.
Starting before at the House of Communication from the Speaker.
1:29 p.m. Eastern Time. My name is Nancy Sabanitomi. I'm the chair, and I will start and secretary. So I'm going to call roll call. From KPFA, Sharon Dedman. Sharon, I do not hear you. Janine Etter from KPFA. Janine, I do not hear you. KPFA, Sabrina Jacobs.
I'm here. Hi.
Sabrina, present. Okay. And from KPFK, Oscar Ulloa.
Here, I'm present.
Oscar is present. Vasiliev. Polina, I do not hear you. And from WBAI, Jack Devine.
I'm here.
Jack, present. And Sharon Salam.
I'm here.
Sharon, present. And Ralph Pointner.
Here.
Ralph is present. From KPFT, Wally James.
Here.
Wally, present. Nancy Sabar and I, Tony, I'm present. And
Mr. O'Rourke is present.
Thomas, okay. Okay,
just
good.
Logging on. Sorry.
Sanford Wyman. Sandy?
That's Sandy to you. I'm here.
Sandy. Okay, Sandy, present. Thank you. And from WPFW, Lucille Perez. Present. Lucille, present. And Thomas O'Rourke?
Present.
Thomas O'Rourke, present. And from WRFG, Heather Gray?
Present.
Heather, present. Okay, good. We have quorum. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 at roll call, present. Okay, next. Let's see. Looking for the minutes now. We have done roll call. Now, would anyone like to approve these minutes? But they were sent like in a few, half an hour ago. Would you like to have more time before we vote on these minutes at the next meeting?
I move that we vote on the minutes at the next meeting.
Okay. Are there any objections to that? Hearing no objections, we will postpone the approval of these minutes. Okay, next is minute approval. All right. Are there any new business for this meeting? This is sort of a continuation meeting and get the things we did not do at the last meeting. And so we will, if we have time extra, we can do some new business. Would anyone want to put something out on the table now for new business? Okay, so I don't hear anything. Okay, we'll go to the agenda. The agenda is at the end of the minutes that I sent, and it's a continuation. So the first thing, it's Pacifica in the Street will be the first item, and then youth immersion, number two, and number three is communication improvement, open to all programmers, and number four, invitation to the PDs or GMs or IPDs or IGMs to come to our meeting, and let's see, number five, Voices in America. This was for special national programming, or maybe just a pre-record from all Pacifica and affiliates and new outside individuals or organizations. Just a big, you know, from many aspects. Number six would be a division of labor to think or decide if we want to divide these things up and have a team leader for each one and sort of work like subcommittees a little bit. And number seven, I emailed the input, email requests to other board members of other stations, of all the stations, and to other experienced programmers or volunteers, maybe not no longer board members. We need to discuss how that email. Can I have permission to put all the members on emails on this email, or how should we do it in the best way? Okay. And then I put my postal box there. If somebody else has a postal box, fine. I hope people will email because the postal service may be having a delay. But I think that option should be there for people who want to be very anonymous, and that's a right. All right. Do I have a motion to approve the continuation meeting or the unfinished agenda?
Yeah.
So
yeah, I put a motion to.
Who's going to Lucille said so moved.
Okay, so the agenda is approved. All right, so Oscar, the Pacific on the Street, you sent us your
point of order, Nancy.
Yes, yes.
Did you read the agenda from the bottom of the email that you just sent?
Yes.
Did I notice the P.O. box is item 7? Okay, so you're going from youth immersion? Okay.
No, number one is Pacifica in the Streets. And actually,
all right, okay. No, I got it. I'm sorry, and I'm sorry to be late today. I'm done. Thank you.
Okay. All right, Oscar, you sent us an outline during the meeting, and we didn't see it until after the meeting was over, or almost over. So, let's see. I have resent it, I believe. Yes, I did. I think I did. Didn't I? Yes, I did. I resent what Oscar sent. I want to ask, this is like this Pacifica on the Streets, making a, organizing a process and a, like a list of deputized programmers who can help to make, put breaking news on the air with some small time slot and give 1 minute or 2 minutes. This was the basis of this, and Oscar, are you there? You want to speak about this a little bit more?
Yes.
Or does yes, go ahead.
Pretty much, I've been kind of going around, talking especially to the board operators regarding this idea. And in general, everybody's open, especially once they receive the instructions from management of programming. And actually, everybody's on board regarding the need. They say they will be just a couple of nuts and bolts to figure out. You know, just kind of make an opening on the grease and a general understanding and who is deputized to do. To be on the air and in general, but yeah, it looks like I'm happy that I've been getting a really positive output and opinions and actually just technical technical tips on how to do it. I just need to talk to somebody else and then to present to our PD and give him the general outline. Once I get that, I think hopefully by next meeting, I will have more and more of the actual way to implement it.
Okay. I'd like to hear from anybody else, especially the programmers, if they their comments about this kind of Pacifica in the Streets, connecting more with the things that are happening, and it's sort of like breaking news. So how do you handle it? How do you do? Anybody want to talk about it? Sabrina?
Is that Jack? Can I jump in on Jack?
Sure, Jack. Go ahead.
I mean, I think it's a great idea and it's something that the network absolutely needs. I guess I do have to look more particularly at the proposal. Sorry, I haven't been able to specifically dive into it. So if I'm wrong about my assessment in this, please let me know. But I think it requires either we are, you know, investing more and actually having the money to be able to pay field reporters because it is real work getting out there in the streets, or it's about really more formalizing our media relationship with other either independent media organizations or also organizing groups that are engaged in either direct action or organizing in labor, these various at these various sites of struggle, in the sense that, you know, this is a real commitment to be able to produce breaking news consistently. And at least from like our end here in at BAI, we have a very, very limited paid staff, and already like a part-time job on our end is something like Revolutions per Minute, in which we are covering news and from perspectives that are almost never heard anywhere else on the airwaves. But it's a lot of work. So that kind of that's the challenge that is posed here, I think, for this sort of project. That doesn't mean it should stop us. It just means that we have to think very concretely about the sort of organizational practices and also maybe mechanisms connecting, pushing something like this forward with a new fundraising drive that is directly connected towards generating the sort of money that we can have of the larger news department team at each of our stations.
If I may respond, definitely.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Oscar for the stack. I'm so sorry. From KPFK.
Oh, go ahead. KPFK, Oscar. Louisville.
Okay. I think one of the main points of this thing is actually make it, of course, voluntary, but also kind of taking advantage of people without experience, as you mentioned. And yes, you're touching a really, really important thing. This is not only for people directly related to Pacifica, but actually the people who, you know, activists or independent media, small media outlets. And again, this example to me, you just came about where, you know, where we have all the recent street protests against police brutality and all the stuff, where we were in the middle of at some point in like five or six different actions, and I knew that there were people who have loved, you know, to have a straight up information. If I may share one experience for when we actually figured out exactly why this is so important, we just take a couple of minutes to put it into perspective. A couple, 3 weeks ago, I accompanied some activists, friends of mine, to a city here on Whittier, California, which was the city of residence of, I don't know if you are aware in the news, here there was a really, really bad killing on a young person, Andres Guardado, here in a local city of Gardena. He was shot in the, executed in the back from sheriff officer, and the local sheriff deputy, he's been hiding all the information. They took cameras, they planted a fake gun close to the, so here in Southern California, it's been a really, really big news. Now, what I'm going is, a couple of weeks ago, there was a protest outside the house of this officer. And there was a peaceful protest in about the middle of the evening. All of a sudden, we got all the local police, you know, gear up completely. And they decided to declare an unlawful reunion. And then, and we knew that there was no arrest, everybody dispersed, but then after that, we knew that they were following the protesters, and they were arresting them after the protest. When the new regular news media came, Telemundo and Fox News and NBC, they came here, they came with a prepared statement from somewhere, from the city, where they were saying, there was a protest, and the reason of that we declare this unlawful, it was because there were arrests here at the protest, which it was a lie. We've been documented that it was a lie because we were recording, you know, on devices, and we were having even our own Ernesto Arce, which is on the news on KPFK, got on with a narrative. He got pretty much, he got the
the news or from all around, but with a, and he was actually there earlier, but not when they dispersed the reunion, this protest, a peaceful protest outside. I mean, we were just, you know, having a hot dog and having a good time, and they just came like crazy, and they just, you know, the full gear up, a striker unit and helicopter. Just as a joke, say, hey, I'm wondering how much this city of Wheeler is just paying to protect one guy, this officer, to coming back to his house on a Sunday evening. So we had the power to challenge that narrative from the police, and it was just from just local activism. And in this case, if somebody might have been, you know, accredited as a Pacific person in a little bit of air, we could say, well, they're dispersing these protests, you know, make it a newsworthy and news prepared, as long as we kind of have the knowledge. But just to fight, in this case, I was really, really upset that the news, the regular news media, came already with a prepared narrative that we will know it was a lie. So I think that's a challenge that we could have, and especially on the voluntary persons or the people who are, once we, if we get this thing rolling, that will be, to me, in my opinion, a really, really important way to challenge the narratives.
Jack, just for a quick response, I think that's a really great example of what the this project should be doing. And I think it's great that you were out there and covering and challenging corporate media's narrative, the narrative of the police and the state, and centering the perspective of the protesters. And so I think we absolutely need to be doing more and more of that, and integrating the network with organizers on the ground. Absolutely. I fully support it. It's just more the how we do it, and establishing those kind of formal mechanisms is the real challenge. And I think it's just going to be doing this is well worth it. It's just going to be a long project, and I think it's going to take building a lot of steady relationships and hopefully also directing some more funding towards that end.
Sharon to the SAC.
Yes, Sharon, go ahead.
Well, I think I do agree with the idea, but I also agree with Jack, because right now many of our listener stations are struggling. They may or may not have the personnel to go out and do it. It would be great if they did. And if they don't do it, then we have to, if they don't have the ability, then we would have to rely on others in the community to be able to do these types of things as they are doing, like when they are making photos of the police and all of that type of thing. So what I'm trying to say is, if you don't have the staff available, how are you going to do it? And also, during the programming time, each one of our stations has a schedule for programming time. Are you talking about preempting someone's time to air this information? Or is there, you're talking about having a set time when these new types of things start to happen? So some of this stuff, like we can find, they have lists of when various actions are taking place. So people can air that on a specific station. But
excuse me, someone mute.
That will have to be worked out.
Oh, thank you, whoever put it.
Thank you.
I think I'd like to say Otis, not Otis, Oscar said it's not a, breaking news is not a, that like it's going to be at this time, at this day. You know, it's like unusual, unexpected. It's not going to be preempting a show. And he said it's like 1 to 2 minute slot, if at all, and not on a regular basis. Because breaking news does not come on a regular basis.
Right, right. I know it's great, but there are a lot of issues that we'd have to work out to make it work. You understand? To make breaking news work, there are a lot of things that we have to work out with the other people who have programming on the various stations to make it work, so that everyone feels that they are getting their just whatever it is they feel they shouldn't get it.
That's all I'm saying.
Thomas to the stack.
Was that Thomas's voice first I heard? And then
I think so before. But go ahead. Who was that?
You can go first, Thomas, and all I'll go after you.
Okay. All right, thank you. Thomas O'Rourke from PFW in D.C. I'd sort of like to, get a sense from the stations of, the capacities of their news departments. It seems to me what Oscar seems to be referring to, I'd call something in the area of citizen journalism. And citizen journalism sounds like, for each station, it would be sort of a training school, some sort of internship, some sort of pre-determined training program for that would have the incentive, would give the incentive to the volunteer of training in a potential, potentially more lucrative field. Just being a volunteer, naturalist media, and getting their name out with these pieces, but you have to have a set up news delivery at each station. For example, we have at PFW there are 5-minute headlines at the top of, and I wouldn't even say every hour, but most hours in the during the daytime. I've been working with the program committee there to try to, to sort of gauge the news department's not just capacities, but willingness and maybe, energy levels to expand and get to a, to doing an evening half hour, local regional news. I noticed in listening, I wanted to ask Jack, you're from New York? Because I have heard on occasion BAI still doing a half an hour local news 6:30 or so. Is that true, or was that shut down when the last fall?
This is Jack. I'm from BAI, and there is still a regularly scheduled news from 6 to 6:30 every day. I believe one of the days is covered by the Independent, although sometimes that goes on and off, which the Independent, which is a newspaper here. We have somebody who does it for free. So there is no news department at WBAI.
There's no news department. I was wondering how the hell you could do a half an hour news show without it. But please, you're saying it's done by someone who completely volunteers.
Yeah, it's done by a volunteer, Paul, for the most part. I mean, I've covered on the news before as well, but yes, right now it's pretty much done on a volunteer basis. I'm hoping to put some things together over the next year or two to ultimately bring in more organizations to help out with that process, and I think also it's pretty important that we all have news departments at each of our stations long term, but that's a fundraising question, which then kind of creates...
Do you have any sort of internship
for you?
Excuse me, I interrupted. Is there any internship program there that's trying to train volunteers?
There is an internship program at BAI. I think some of it's directed towards the news slightly, but it's mostly interns are paired up with shows and help them out. And then they're kind of also, I think, helping out with the premiums. And so it's less focused than I think it should be, but it's also one of those things where it's, our very short staff at BAI is doing multiple things in multiple directions, and it's kind of the Sisyphus. You're pushing up the rock up the hill, and it's all we can get a machine that pulls the rock up for us. I can watch forever, but I someone else talks.
Well, that was my comment about maybe an audit of Nancy, to sort of find out where we are and, you know, how feasible is this to implement locally, you know, maybe as a pilot project in one place and you know, to try to imitate it. But isn't that what you're sort of getting at, Oscar, citizen journalism? But you have to find a way to sort of regularize it, standardize it, professionalize it in some way. They don't hand out the mics to just anyone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is Oscar. Just a quick question, and sorry if you got if I get a little background noise, because unfortunately that's where I'm at right now. I completely agree. You pointed exactly to the general idea, and of course, as a friend from New York mentioned, a lot of this stuff is on the volunteer basis. And it can be done. I mean, like, you know, like Paulina and me and some other people who pretty much we have like four or five different platforms. Most of those are voluntary. But we do definitely try to, you know, to be there every time on whatever we got on the back. So once the people recognize that the work is important and it's meaningful, I think that everybody gets the point. And that's one of the beauties of this project in general. And again, kind of going to the training and to the workshop and the different rules. Pretty much everything is being worked out right now. Again, I've been working really closely with programmers, most importantly from board operators. And I got a really, really interesting input from them. Actually, again, I repeat myself on the nuts and bolts on the how-to. And it will be covered exactly a lot of the point that somebody been making about how to implement is getting there, and of course, like somebody was pointing out, everybody who gets onto this process, he will be previously deputized. He will be know the board operator will know who are the persons. Let's say right or with the training and the ability of put all this information. And again, it's also in the spirit that is breaking news on a breaking news, I mean, kind of, but on the nearest base. The main thing it will be to have set up a set time, maybe 1 minute and 30 or 2 minutes, most likely in between the top of the hours or between the for the shows 30 minutes. Well, we know that it's less than that, 28. But you know, like we cover it before or instead of local business, and then move local business a little bit forward or backward, and depending if the show is pre-recorded or live. And yeah, but definitely we hope to have in 2 weeks have a complete outline and then hear from everybody and, you know, start pointing out either adding or removing or getting everybody's opinion. Thank you so much.
Oscar, Thomas.
Sir Ryan.
Oscar.
Whoever.
And then Thomas.
Ron, go ahead. Thomas has spoken a lot.
I'll wait.
Sabrina for the chat.
Okay. I agree with having this happen. It sounds wonderful, but for this to work, we would need the cooperation of all the people who have programs on every station, and also we'd need a curriculum so that these people can be trained in a unified way. So to me, to develop a curriculum so people could be trained in a unified way requires someone with curriculum development training and other types of things so that each station would be teaching, let's say, the same thing to these various trainees. Then you need also someone who's going to teach the various things to the trainee, because it really does sound similar to
a comment that Jack had made in regards to the need for money. Paying someone to do some of this, to develop the curriculum or to do the actual training. You don't necessarily need it for the volunteers or the people who are taking the training. They might be willing to come in and do that for free. But, you know, we have hard times now. And people might need to have some money, car fare or whatever it is, lunch money. You know, they might not need much, but they might need something to make this happen. I'm thinking,
okay. My question, this is Sabrina. This is Lucille.
Okay, Sabrina and then Lucille.
I agree with everything that Sharon said before and is saying now. I already have breaking news that I have to make time for during my show on Fridays at 8 a.m. So, there's going to have to be an extensive vetting process, and especially when you're talking about pre-recorded shows. A lot of folks do that, especially now with the pandemic. They're not able to do live shows from their locations. So there's also that that needs to be taken into consideration. But, yeah, I think the mechanics of it need to be worked out, and the vetting process needs to be worked out extensively. And people with situations like with a gentleman from WBAI, they barely have a news department. So there needs to be that incentive to do that, to be a stringer. So maybe reimbursement of transportation or what have you. But, yeah, it's going to take some subcommittees and probably a little bit or a lot of bit of time to make sure we have the structures set, the vetting process put into place to ensure that we're getting accurate information from everybody that's reporting and the folks that are reporting are trained properly. Thank you.
Thank you, Sabrina. Anyone, Lucille.
My question was, has there ever been an opportunity, or has there ever been an option to work with schools of communication? I'm thinking in Washington, D.C., Howard University has a pretty extensive school of communication, and partnering, collaborating with them to have some of their students participate in this Pacifica in the students. And I think it would be a wonderful opportunity also for some of our outreach to podcasts, that they may have little 1 to 2 minute news clips that we would be able to use. So I'm asking that question. Has there ever been an outreach to schools of communication? And has that ever been?
Can I answer the question?
Okay, I heard a man's voice, and then I heard Heather. Who was that?
Thomas.
Jack, I just want to say that I have to hop off now at 2.
I'll continue
to work on the media, the podcast media outreach plan that I was already preparing, and hopefully can share that with the committee sometime in the next couple months. I'll pay attention to the minutes. Sorry, I have to hop off. I just have to get off at 2 on Sundays.
Okay, Jack. Is this a bad time? Would you like the meeting at a little bit earlier or a little bit later? Or no, probably earlier, right?
Yeah, but I don't want to trouble people on the West Coast. It's sometimes on Tuesday, I have other meetings on Sundays and sometimes shift, so I might be available past 2 in 2 weeks, and I hopefully will be. But I can't guarantee that. There's just a couple of other things that I have responsibilities for on Sunday.
I see. Well, thank you, Jack. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for hosting the meeting, and sorry I have to hop off, everyone. Have a nice day.
Bye-bye.
Let's see. Who was next? Was it Thomas? I'm sorry. Heather? Was it Heather? Did Heather put her name out?
I believe she did.
I put her name out. put mine out after hers for Ron.
Okay. So Heather and then I think Thomas. And Sharon. Oh yeah. Thomas,
yeah.
And then Sharon. Okay. Heather, go ahead.
Well, actually, I don't know. Well, I will say something. I would be concerned about communications departments. I don't know that I always trust contemporary communication departments. You know, I'm sure Howard University probably has a relatively good one. It would be. I don't know. We'd have to look at that. I would have to look at that more closely for if we were going to do that here in Atlanta. So I don't know. That's all I can say about that right now.
Yeah, Oscar, please.
Okay, Thomas, and then Sharon, and then Oscar. Okay, go ahead, Thomas.
Okay, I just real quick. One of them was what between Oscar and Jack. One of them made me think is, well, you could package this as sort of producing PSAs in the field. In other words, one minute announcements of breaking news. But again, you'd have to have, and I fully support everyone who said, a curriculum, training. There'd have to be some way to, get the files to people, to the stations for a, top of the hour or bottom of the hour, PSA. If they don't have a news, thing like we did with PFW, which is, 5-minute news. Instead, they have news, in the rushes, morning and evening rush, and save it and don't have anything in between. You could do it during the PSA, hour or half hour, and call it just that. In other words, you'd have to limit these reports to minutes and, for special circumstances, 2 minutes. But again, as I said, and other people apparently agreed, standardized curriculum and training of some sort. I floated schools of communication in the past because D.C. is full of, between University of Maryland, American University, Howard, a couple of others. I was thinking that would be a source of interns. But if there's a, if there's some way to, to make our station sort of a field, field practice for budding journalists coming out of school communication programs. Obviously some of them have access to their own university stations or TV shows. But, it's something to look into. Not much has been done on our end as far as I know, but, it still would be something to do. Okay, thank you.
Okay, Sharon?
Well, at one point, that issue of reaching out to radio stations and stuff like that has been put on the table. One of the problems that we have faced in terms of achieving that goal is to have someone who's able to go and get that done. And by that, you have to have staff who can go and do it, a volunteer who can go and do it. We don't have that many staff people at WBAI. Maybe some other people might have more relationships with their staff, a larger staff, where they could go out and go do this kind of stuff. So it's almost like you need to go find a volunteer to start reaching out to these entities. Because there are a number of colleges and universities in New York that have media types of departments that may also have radio departments. There are even a lot of schools that have them, really, a lot of high schools. But we just need that person who's able to make it happen. And I'm sure some of your stations may be the same, but you might need people as well that's going to make it happen.
Couldn't it happen from the Pacifica level and have those collaborations and partnerships done by Pacifica and then work with the individual local networks?
Agreed. Well, I would imagine that would be very difficult. In a way, you could start it with the use of the Pacifica name, but each location and each different, you know, in each different location, there are different institutions that are there who are doing this type of training work and who are doing this work, who might have channels on in this type of radio arena already. That would be asking them to do a tremendous amount of stuff. They have to go to New York to do stuff, find somebody. They got to go to Atlanta to find somebody, Washington, D.C., and to find somebody. You know what I'm saying? So they
okay.
have the staff to do it.
Okay, Sharon, I think Oscar was next. Lucille, Sharon, I think Oscar was next. Right?
Okay.
Yeah, I'm here. This is such a wonderful way to get our points across, because exactly a lot of those questions, of those details, are exactly a lot of stuff where we are talking and covering, most importantly. And yeah, from the latest to the earliest. The idea will be exactly to create a system and not overwhelm, or in this case, not to try to put more stuff into either Pacifica or members or boards or committees. The idea will be to make it really, really straightforward. As an example, when somebody says, well, we're going to get a curriculum regarding how to work, we already have an outline of a plan on pretty much just elaborate, make up instructional video with the not the basics, but as much as we can cover in general on how the plan will work. First of all, again, for somebody who has concerns about the vetting of who will be given access to the airways, it will be pretty much, first of all, somebody interested one way or another, either part of the Pacifica or gravitating to Pacifica, or activists, pretty much somebody who knows what our principles are. And from there, you know, it will be taken probably, yes, a couple of persons or to be doing that vetting. But let's say a lot of that stuff could be done, or the original plan is to be done, you know, in the house. Local station board members, local programming, local operators, local volunteers, and people who we know we have around our circle, you know, our regular contributors, or regular opinion persons, pretty much as close or as far as possible. But we always going to have a set of qualifications or a set of requirements, and all that be in for a really, really easy way for a board operator to have access, you know, at least a folder document where you know who is, first of all, who is on this list, who is vetted, properly vetted, and kind of the rundown qualifications. And then go from there. I mean, no, even if they're public interest or activism, or people out on the street, as long as they're properly vetted, and I don't think it will take that much to kind of figure out who is who, especially if it's people around or network. That's the one thing. Somebody were mentioning about the going out to the broadcasting or school communications, and at least as far as I know, the KPFK experience seems to be a mixed bag, because it's hard to say, and this might be a little of dirty laundry, but what people complain from the schools is that there is no follow-up, that they've been waiting for their letters of assistance or recommendations or the, you know, the unfortunately, probably because of our strange situation, there is not enough people that can have a, you know, like we have a local volunteer assistant person doing all the stuff, but probably it's not enough. So that, I think, as far as I know, that's always been the problem, that the people can come, but they don't know if they can will get the credits required. Seems to be like there's a little bit of issue there. And again, it's, everything is about the administrative stuff that kind of blocks our way. So at this point, the idea is to make this all these processes as practical as possible, with the less people who not involved, but with obligations, extra obligations. Because I understand all of us, we work like three or four different hats and all over the place. And I mean, the idea is to have just one single process, one time. Okay, this is our station book regarding this. This is our instructional video. This is the set of requirements. And of course, every station, depending on the process of how you want to accredited as a press outlet, and pretty much just one time, and then have the process rolling. And somebody, if I can remember in a movie, if we build it, they will come.
Sabrina, for the chat.
Okay, Sabrina, go ahead from KPFA.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I agree with what Sharon is saying as far as that. And Sharon, you're from WBAI, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, great, wonderful. Yeah, I agree with what she's saying as far as going to the schools. That could be half of the vetting process dealt with and taken care of, half of the training process dealt with and taken care of. I think making creating that coalition with the schools would be a definite plus. We all have universities in our towns that we are broadcasting out of. If not one, maybe even three. So I think making creating that process or possibility is the best way to go. I feel like it's going to have to be on a national level and implemented on a national level, and the mechanics of it created on a national level, and then disseminated to the local stations. I think that's probably the best way to move forward. Does anybody want to add on to that? Thanks.
This is Heather. I'd like to add on there.
Yes, go ahead.
I frankly think that rather than community radio stations going to these schools of communication, that we should be educating them. So, in fact, I think that community radio stations around the country could begin having virtual programs to train people about having programs that really represent the community or concerns of the community, period. So I just wanted to mention that. I wouldn't want to recommend any of the people from our station to be going to the communication school here in Atlanta. I just wouldn't want to do that.
May I respond to that?
Go ahead.
I appreciate it. Thank you. So, yeah, I'm just speaking in regards to the mechanics of it, the way it should be set up. As far as the affiliates are concerned, I wasn't even taking that into consideration, and I do apologize, but I'm sure it's going to be a different setup, or you're going to have your own individual setup as far as that's concerned, and plugged into the way that the five stations are doing it. But, yeah, whatever you see fit, just making sure that we have the solid architecture set up on the national level. You have to hit this, and this, and this criteria. And then the local station boards, because they all have, you know, we're broadcasting from way different demographics all over the country. And it's going to be, you know, a different version of breaking news all over the country, five different versions of it, if not more, with the affiliates. So what I'm saying is that making sure the mechanics are set up and that solid structure is set up on a national level. LSPs, you guys do what you want. Affiliates, you do what you feel is necessary. But just making sure that we have that solid structure, just like we have right now. You know, it's advocacy journalism. You need to be reporting in a certain way. And we need to give a voice to the voiceless. That's mandated in our mission statement. So just the same way that we have the way that we are reporting, mandated it, to progressive news, period. It's progressive music, period. The same way that this breaking news idea needs to be implemented as well. Thank you.
Okay.
We spent a lot of time on this. Go ahead, Thomas.
My idea about approaching schools of communication was as a labor source. In other words, maybe identify and maybe through a national motion, ask every general manager, program director to identify, you know, two or three faculty members at local stations, you know, local schools of who are doing, you know, maybe aggressive programming or something like that. In other words, they could turn their students into our interns, giving them access to airwaves in exchange for some hours. I did something through Maryland years ago with PFW where I was I turned it into a scholarship for myself, and Maryland accepted it. But I was working for a labor program here in town or on PFW. That was my idea, and maybe a national whoever had that idea, a national directive would make sure that program directors in each of the five and beyond locales, you know, take a couple hours to identify this, you know, have some volunteers do it, in terms of contacting schools of education, finding out how, you know, sort of creating a PSA that asked for them to volunteer as an intern at the station. You see what I'm saying? I know it takes work, but the whole point is to get more additional workers in exchange for
Real quick, Madam Chair, we're already doing that at KPFA. That's it. So we've got the structure. We've already pretty much got that in place. So we're already doing that at KPFA. I'm sorry. I know we need to. We belabored the point. I apologize. Sorry.
No, that's good. Thank you for bringing that up. If you dig on KPFA's website, you have to dig a little to find it. Yes, they have a lot of they said they're turning into virtual training sessions, and Janine pointed that out. Anyway, good programming, good training, good something is there for people to. We'll have at our station anything. We're not even saying anything on the website. You know, come and learn. So, if you have time, please look at KPFA's website and dig around, and you will see they do have a training program for anybody to, you know, volunteer.
That's one question. This training that they offer, if a college student were to come in and take this training, would they receive college credit?
I don't know.
If they take this training, because they do offer students, you know, and then the school, if you are able to have a qualified person teaching the training, the college or university have work study programs. They have programs where they will give the person credit. They'll even give the person a stipend, a salary or something, if it's done under work study to come in to do the program. But you have to have someone who is managing the program who has a certain type of accreditation to sign off on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. We do have a college credit. They should be getting college credit as far as I know. Yeah. And I'm sharing.
Okay. All right. I'd like to go. I mean, I'd like to continue this, but we really need to. I asked the last time for some manuals or training, and Heather sent a manual that was quite old, but I have not been able to read all of it. It will take a lot of reading, all the things I asked for this and that, and then I started getting things, and it's a lot. So there is things there. I don't know what specific training manuals do they have, and where are they, and but anyway, we don't have to wait for that. We can start calling upon our own people, like our own programmers, how they face breaking news, or when they get a call on the telephone, what do they do? And then, of course, we have challenges with pre-records now, and I'm glad Sabrina brought that up. You know, and then Thomas said, well, maybe they can just take the 2 minutes PSA time when it's really important.
Anyway, I've been at the station where we got calls for really serious breaking news, and the program was just like chilled. I don't know what to do. You know, he's afraid of making mistakes, afraid. Doesn't have what it takes experience to make a call on that. And that's what it seems like to me what's happening. Process, I don't know. I don't know. Okay, anyway, I'm sorry. I shouldn't be talking so much. We must continue this. And search and get something out there. Put something one step in front of the other. Get something done on this. We should be the leaders in getting young people or anybody getting the breaking news, the news that's not all warped and sanitized. The next is youth immersion. Can we go on into this one? We did not get it at the last meeting. We didn't get to discuss. Would anybody like to start about points we haven't talked to yet or points that you would think are important? It sort of goes along with the training we, Sabrina brought up, internship and training. Okay. Okay. We need to study then what's being done already at KPFA and at other states, at how you teach. You programmers that are members here, you could give us some good pointers on how you taught or how you were taught or how you got trained or what was exciting for you that got you into this. I see this. We have a few teenagers at KPFT, but we sure would like to have some more. And it will be tricky how to get them virtually, right? You can't be sitting in a room with them. Any of our programmers on board this meeting have some experience with this? Teaching? Virtually?
No.
Anybody? If somebody's trying to talk, I'm hearing it.
I'm not a programmer, but this virtual situation that we're in, you'd probably be very surprised at how much young people can add to what we're doing as it relates to this Zooming and this virtual presence.
We have some young guys, and it's called Free Thinkers, a show, and they, was it Friday? Yeah, last Friday. They said, well, if you're afraid of Facebook, try Float. And I never heard of that, F-L-O-T dot app. And so I have to look at this, you know. And he said, yeah. And they're always thinking so many different ways. That, they have a lot of energy. They're thinking different ways. So it's really an asset to get the youth. We ought to corner them and say, okay, what's your ideas? Right, if no one has anything else to say about getting the youth in, I think with the college professors that are really progressive, and we have one here at U of H, and he said, yeah, I want my students to have credit for what they do. You know, I want their name out here. I want their voice. So I thought, well, why not? I mean, if they've done a good job, why would we steal something from somebody, some student, some idea? I couldn't understand exactly what's happening while he was saying that. Anyway. All right. Does anyone else have a good...
Oscar from KPSK, please talk, please.
Sure, Oscar. Go ahead, KPSK.
Yeah, the closest that I can think that it works is something as Pauline and me, we have our show on late Tuesday nights, mostly a community affairs, and because of that, we have the chance to get a lot of young people. And the last that I can really impress me is a couple. I think it's almost a team of three young females from the LGBTQ community, where they have their own podcast, in really well done, and actually they have been providing stuff for the old folks that are not so hip to these new issues, but it's really really important to stress that for them just the fact that they have their voices here on KPFK, in this case, or on a Pacifica station, on a really progressive outlet, is really, really important for them. So pretty much it's kind of like, not a cross-sharing of information, but for them it's really, really important, the people who are, you know, creating their own content, also for the rest of the people or rest of the community to know that there's also, you know, there's a background or there's a connection with this big, you know, opportunity that we have to present the history of KPSK or the Pacifica stations, and then, you know, for them to pretty much also consider it as a privilege. So, pretty much is what it takes me, just kind of to not stress enough the power the Pacifica position has into the progressive movement, and how can be part, and also the people can be part of us the same way that we can do for them, and especially for the young guys around.
I have a question, Oscar. Did you say Tuesday night or Thursday night, this community affairs show?
Tuesday night. Tuesday night, 10:30 to 11:30. And that's why Paulina and me started just as a volunteer programmers for the Spanish language set point, and now you will see there with little by little. I mean, we pretty much just came, with a little background out on the streets. We want to put ourselves as an example that if you keep coming, if there's something there that you are passionate about, I mean, it doesn't take. A lot of times I have stress. I am really, really honored to hear a lot of you with all your experience and all your work and all your fight against injustice, and all the different backgrounds that most of you have. And myself, I was just you're some local activist from the corner. And all of a sudden, when I have the privilege to be on these boards, but on the other hand, it's an example that if we are interested enough and we have the right reasons to be doing it, Pacifica is a great, great place to be.
Thank you. Who's next? I'd like to put myself on the stack. In the Houston area, we have a lot of high schools. Their communications department, their equipment is like state of the art. It's much better than KPFT's equipment. And so they got better stuff than we do. And so, you know, we might think about asking this school or that school, and then pick out the best stories and then let them be on our air. We don't really reach out to the high schools. And no promises, but, I mean, that's something we're not doing, is reaching out. We're fighting among ourselves sometimes, and it should be more inclusive. Okay, I would like to know any more on this, because we're running out of time. Shall we go to the next thing, which is communication within the more open communication among staff? Are we ready to make a motion on that? How is everybody feeling?
Okay. I really think we need to start crafting motions, and I'm sorry I did not do anything. I've been so busy. I'm so sorry. I wish I could have put more before the this meeting started. But shall we entertain some motion crafting on the email thread, and then we can present them among ourselves and then report it at the next meeting and then vote on them. Communication, more communication among the programmers, among themselves. I think that should be that was decided as a good item to work on. Does anybody have anything to say? Well, I think it's good to have that kind of thing. That way, everybody can talk to each other. The programmers. Instead of just, you know, it used to be the programmers know the show after them, the show before them. But now that they're at home, I'm worried about less communication among programmers. And, okay, never mind. All right. Want to go to the next one. We have around 25 minutes left. The previous, last year's programming committee had gotten up to the point of inviting the PDs, or if there's no PD, a GM or an IGM, to one of the meetings so we can have ask them how questions. And so the committee decided this was a good thing to do, and so we need to start making a list of questions or topics you want to discuss and something that will make fruitful results. So can people start thinking of questions? Do you have any questions in mind now, or if you want to send them by email to the to this committee, that's fine. Okay, I don't hear any response here, so I'm going to go to the next one. This is called Voices in Pacifica, and this would be a pre-record show with segments from all over the five stations and the affiliates and podcasters, individuals. I don't know how maybe each station would take charge each time and do it and pick what to put. This needs to be worked on, but we were thinking this is a very good way to connect make us more larger audience and larger infrastructure or network. A network is a better word. I don't hear anything, but we can work on this at offline. There's a lot of things. I wanted to thank Heather for sending training manual and some other breaking news stuff she sent. But we need a system to where we can all get lots of things and share breaking news things. I would like to hear breaking news, even if it's on the other side of the country, from BAR, from the West Coast, the fires. You know, I called one board member at KPFA, and she said the smoke in the Bay Area is really bad. And she has no air conditioner. Wow. I thought, well, you don't have an air conditioner. Go and get one. We're not hearing things like that, but this is